Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're going to start a new series, and the next few days and weeks we'll be teaching on the good fight of faith. If you want to know what is required to walk and fight this good fight of faith that Paul was talking to Timothy about, just stay with us and listen, and we will tell you and teach you how this thing works. At the end of the program, you'll hear some numbers of how to get this teaching free in its entirety.
And whenever they would come to me, I would ask them if they'd ever been through a deliverance and had the demon cast out. And they said, "Demon cast out?" I said, "Yeah, that's what, if you've been prayed for and prayed for and prayed for and nothing happened, you've got to get rid of the demon." That's like this little woman down in Manny, Louisiana. There's a lady down there that Richard and I went down there, and after the end of the service, I think about the third day, I give an invitation for people to come up to be prayed for. Well, she wouldn't come up. She had, I believe it was MS. Yeah, MS, and cancer, and she wouldn't come up there. Her husband said, "Go burn up that man and pray for you." And she said, "No, I've been to the Benny Hinn Crusades. I've been to Kenneth Hagin's Crusades. I've had some of the finest men there lay hands on me and pray for me," and said, "I've not been healed." She said, "Well, I ain't going up and let him pray for me." So they got in the car and drove around the block, and everybody left, and there was nobody left but me and the pastor. And this man come back up and booted his wife out of the car and said, "You go in and let him pray for you." So she came in. I said, "What's going on?" She said, "My husband said we're not leaving here until you pray for me." She said, "Now, I've been prayed for by the best, and nothing's ever happened." I said, "Well, ma'am, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Have you ever been to a deliverance? You've had their demons cast out of you." She said, "Demons? Nobody will ask me about that." I said, "Ma'am, what you got in us is a demon." She said, "A demon?" She said, "Kevin, I'm a Christian." I said, "I know, but that don't make no difference. That's what's in your body killing you, a demon." I said, "Ma'am, sit down in a chair." She sat on that chair, and I pulled my chair up right in front of her, looking her right straight in the eyes. And I said, "Now, first of all, I want you to repent of every sin you've ever committed since you become a Christian." She went through everything she could think of. I said, "Now then, you believe every sin is confessed. No unforgiveness or nothing." And she said, after 10 or 15 minutes, she said, "No, I'm sure every sin is confessed." I said, "We'll put one more blanket coverage. If we missed anything, you get it too, just to make sure." So she did. I said, "Now then," I reached up and grabbed her by the shoulders and pulled her over kind of close to me and looked her right in the eye, and I said, "You demon of hell, come out of her in the name of Jesus." Nothing happened. She just looked normal. I shook her. When I shook her, I said, "You demon of hell," I said, "come out of her in the name of Jesus." And her eyes turned green and she flared and she started screaming and kicking and grabbed me and fell off in the floor, and our chairs went flying and me and her went down in the floor. And for 15 minutes, we wallowed around in the floor. She kicks, she screams, she hollered, she done everything. All I got to say is I'm glad a police officer didn't walk in the door. They would have arrested me for tormenting a woman. But in 15 minutes, she looked up at me. All of a sudden, I threw over on the floor on her back, and she looked up at me, and she opened her eyes. She said, "What are we doing down here?" I said, "I've been casting the demons out of you." I said, "You all right now?" She said, "Well, yes, what am I doing on the floor?" See, she had no knowledge of what happened from the time the demon manifested in her. I got up. I said, "You okay?" She said, "Yeah." And that woman was miraculously completely healed of MS. It's awesome, isn't it? I mean, a few days later, I got a phone call from the preacher down there. He said, "Praise God, that woman has been back to the doctor. There ain't a sign of MS in her body. And she's running around all over Manny, Louisiana telling everybody she's healed." Isn't it awesome? What is our problem? Demons. How do they get in? By legal right through sin. You open the sin door, the devils come in. When they come in, they make you sick. Whenever you repent of your sins, sometimes it's not easy to drive them out. You got to remember, there's principalities, there's powers, there's rulers of darkness, and then there's spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies, and then there's Satan himself. But you've got to remember, regardless of which one it is, you and I have power and authority over all of them in the name of Jesus. But only as long as your sins are confessed. You cannot cast out a demon if you have any kind of unconfessed sin in your life.
My question relates to, casting out demons, do you have to specifically know what type, which of the four?
It works a whole lot better if you do.
Okay, yeah. And how would we go about doing that?
Well, one of the ways you can find out if it's like a woman has a demon of MS, you can just ask the questions of what kind of problems they have, and then you technically know that that demon of MS is a spirit of infirmity. The spirit of infirmity covers many different kinds of demons. The woman that had the infirmity in Luke chapter 13, verse 11, the woman that was bowed over and could nowise straighten herself up for 18 years, Jesus walked up to her and says, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And what happened? He said, "This woman, which Satan has bound for 18 years, had a spirit of infirmity." What is it that messes with our physical bodies? Invisible spirits. How did they get legal claim to us? Through sin. Through sin. Now, what if you don't sin? Somebody says, "Thurman, it's impossible. Give me a break." No. The Lord told you and me clearly. I've got just a few more minutes. Let me read something out of the Word of God to you. I want you to see how you interpret this. I want you to go to Romans chapter 6 and 7. Go to Romans chapter 6, and I want you to look at what Paul said here in Romans 6. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" What is his answer? How do you interpret? "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" If you and I are truly born again Christians, if we truly are God's children, what should we do to sin? We die, we're dead to it. So how can a dead person sin? Can a dead person sin? No. Only if you're alive can you sin. Now then, if you're alive to sin, you're going to sin. But if you realize you've died to sin, then you're going to walk through this earth, Christ in you, with the hope of glory, and you're not going to sin. Then I'll just take you a little bit further. I want to go over, after we read that, I want you to turn over with me to 1 John chapter 5. And I want you to see a promise here. I had a lady from Oklahoma the other day that she called me and she said, "You made this statement on one of your tapes," and I said, "That cannot be in God's Word." She said, "I stopped the tape right there. I went and got my Bible, opened it, and read it," and I said, "My lands, Lord, how did I miss that all this time?" She said, "There it was." Look at 1 John 5:18. Well, let me start verse 17. "A little bit of unrighteousness is sin." Uh-oh. You got to watch these preachers. They don't always tell you the truth. What does that say? All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. Now, there's another reason sometimes you can't get people healed. When people have committed the sin unto death, it's all over. Now, then somebody asks me, what is a sin unto death? I'll tell you, I've had a lot of people tell me what they think it is. Some people say they got the answer. I'm going to tell you, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But here's what it is. Here's one thing it will do to you. If all sin is unrighteousness, and there's one of them, or some of them, that lead unto death, would you be willing to pick up a officer's .38 revolver that's got six holes in it, and just put one bullet in it, and spin it, and then not look at it to see where it goes, and pick it up and pull the hammer back and stick it to your head and say, click? Oh, you wouldn't be willing to do that, would you? You got five chances you're not going to get killed. But you got one chance you might get killed, right? So see, that's what we do when we commit sin. We don't know the sin that we commit. It may be the sin unto death. If it's a sin unto death, then it's over. Now then, what if maybe you went out and committed adultery one time and you didn't get killed? That might not have been a sin unto death. But maybe you're like a young 25-year-old girl I was asked to come down to the hospice house in Burleson here a while back to pray over. her aunt, which had been miraculously healed in one of my meetings, she called me and wanted me to meet her down at this hospice house. Her 25-year-old niece was in hospice, and that's bad at 25. So I go down there, and I pull in just at the same time she does, so she and I walk in together. I walk in, and here's a young lady laying on her deathbed, and there's a man standing there. And I said, "Sir, who are you?" And he said, "I'm her dad." I said, "Okay." And I looked at this little girl, and I said, "Honey, are you a Christian?" She could just barely talk. She said, "Yes." I said, "Did you go to church?" She said, "A little." I said, "Do you have any children?" She said, "Two sons." I said, "How old are they?" "One of them's 7, one of them's 5. I said, "Where's your husband?" She said, "I don't have a husband." I said, "So how long have you been divorced?" "I've never been married." I said, "Honey, you have opened the door wide open to the forces of darkness. And they've come in to kill you. And they're just about there." I said, "You only have one alternative. That is to repent and tell God you're extremely sorry for what you've done. And you'll never do it again." And she could not. And 3 days later, she died and went wherever she went. 25. When God says sin leads to death, I mean, what is it you don't understand about that? Why is it we think we can just live like we want to? Why is it we think we as Christians can walk where we want to? We can hold all unforgiveness. I mean, I don't like Miss Janet. If she said something nasty to me, so I'll never forgive her. I don't care. This girl jumped up right here and slapped me 3 times and knocked me on the floor. I said, "Honey, I forgive you." I mean, there ain't nothing this girl could do to me to get me in a state of unforgiveness, because I'm not going to be there. I mean, if she had right to do that, if I'd done something and just upset her and she jumped up, or if I had not done a thing and she just walked in and said, "Thurman, I'm just going to knock the tar out of you," and she hit me, I'd said, "Okay, now we got that done, let's forgive each other and let's press on and go on." I mean, you see where I'm coming from, right? I ain't going to get there. I ain't going there and sin. Are you? No. Because when we go back just a few pages to James 1, let's go back just a few pages to James. Well, see, I never did finish that verse. I didn't finish that. I'm sorry. I just realized at first on 5, I went to the sin unto death, and then I didn't go to the next verse. In verse 18, he says, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not."
We're going to have to stop right there today on the teaching, but we'll start there again tomorrow. We invite you to join us again tomorrow to hear the continuation of the Good Fight of Faith. If you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would contact our ministry center at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or go to the web at www.tlsm.org, www.tlsm.org. And there you can order these teachings as well as many other teachings free and postpaid. We would love to send them to you free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He is God and Lord of all. And we praise Him and thank Him for the privilege to teach His Word.